Guten Tag, listeners. We've recently reached 3% of our listeners are now German. Thank you very much, anyone listening from Berlin or Munich or any of those states. And yes, you are correct. We are back. Back like a heart attack.
And a bomb. Bombs are serious. Even more serious than heart attacks. Isn't that right?
Oh, you know it is. Yes, Football Nutshell, after a 10-month hiatus, will thankfully be making a return, and hopefully we'll be here somewhat to stay. And, you know, we may not have the consistency of other podcasts, but we have the quality. Every time you see a notification for Football Nutshell, you know something box set is about to come out. That's exactly what's going to happen today as we release our follow-up to our most recent podcast about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And he is, after buying Ronaldo, things were looking up. My esteemed colleague here, Jason, was talking about winning the league, but times have changed. They changed almost immediately afterward, after that podcast, should I say. And now we're talking about Ten Hag. So let's get into the meat and potatoes of things, because I know there's a United fan here
who
wants...
Don't forget about the peas. The peas are the most important of any delicious meal.
Nah. Right then. Since after that, would you like to give me a review of the last season and where you see things going under Ten Hag?
So Ten Hag, you know that he's Dutch, bringing some, as Ruud Gullit said, sexy football. You know what that means, John.
It means sexy football.
Gegenpressing, tiki-taka, all in one. We're going to be at you all like heart attacks. Not like last season when it was like everybody was actually having a heart attack on our side. Next year, Tuchel, Pep, the other gobshite of Boomtown Rats.
Jorgen.
I think, gone. They won't stand the chance. The only problem is, there's more other teams in the league. That's who we're going to be losing to.
So, you're saying next year...
Our biggest problem is people who play shit football.
So you're saying you're going to continue to struggle against the small teams.
Yes.
That's correct.
That is going to be our big problem.
I thought last year you were struggling against everyone, to be honest. I don't remember seeing a worse Man United team, or a worse team finishing sixth, for that matter.
I would agree, except for probably Man United of 2019.
That was under who?
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. /Jose Mourinho.
Oh, what? No, this team was a lot worse than that. It was a worse version of Ole, and Ragnick... Ralph Ragnick was awful, I have to say.
I have to say, the Godfather, he was more like the normal father.
He was more like... He went from the Godfather in terms of movies down to, like, Gotti, the worst mafia movie of all time.
I'd want to go Godfather 3.
Oh, was that bad?
Yeah.
I've never actually seen Gotti. But, anyways... So, this season, you were talking about Ten Hag. But what formation do you see him playing?
Okay. He's going to be playing as... This is the way Louis van Gaal says it. 1-4-2-3-1. So, the goalkeeper is going to play a massive part in it. So, that's why I think... Backman, I don't understand it, why we're going for him. But whatever. Ten Hag, he's bald, he's smart. He knows what he wants. But De Gea... He's not good enough to play.
Yeah, De Gea from the feet. Surely that's feet.
He cannot do anything. And so De Gea and Backman doesn't work. We need to get a top-class goalkeeper in. Probably next year, Dom. Because I think De Gea...
Who do you think buys De Gea, though? Because surely he's not sitting on the bench. Like Henderson also needs to go.
Henderson's gone. He's going to Nottingham Forest.
Is he, yeah?
Which I think is a waste of his career. But he's a snitch. That's everybody knows about him. He's the one who was leaking everything to the press last year.
If he was in Baltimore, he'd be dead. That's the best way to describe it.
As my old teacher said, snitches don't always get... Or snitches do not always get stitches. That's what Mr... he said you can go speak, but...
Free speech, is that it?
Yeah, free speech is there, but it's his right. But he shouldn't have done it. It's disrespectful to the club.
100%.
But now, when you're talking about Backman... Can't see it. I think we need to be going for someone like Ilan Meslier at Leeds, possibly next year. I think he has a big future. Or then, we'll see. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of goalkeepers on the market next year, so...
But if we're looking at Ajax's best team under Ten Hag, which is obviously that 18-19 team that got the Champions League semi-final?
This year was not even better, but it was, yeah.
Onana, would you regard him as a high-quality ball-playing goalkeeper? I think De Gea could potentially survive.
I think so.
He'd need
to
improve.
I think it's not maybe that focused, because this year Onana wasn't really that, and he had Schalkenberg, who didn't, and you know Schalkenberg, he's not really that good.
No.
So he can probably, I'd say he could do good with De Gea, but
he could probably improve him for one.
The back four is going to be needs to be a massive upgrade if anything is going to happen under Ten Hag. That's why I think Yori and Timber.
Does anyone survive in that back four for you? From last
Varane, if he's fully fit. Shaw, but he needs to get fit. I think last year his head was gone. He wasn't able to run back at all. And Telles, that man, all he has is a good pony down.
I don't think Telles is even a Premier League footballer, to be honest. I've seen absolutely
Dalot is kick and miss, but he's better than the Wan-Bissaka. That's the only thing I can say.
And let's talk a bit about Harry. Does the captain, does he keep his captaincy and maintain his place under Ten Hag?
Captaincy, no, but if he can get back to 2021 levels of his performance where he was playing well, I think everybody can accept that.
The back end, yeah, definitely.
If he can get back there, no problem, he can get back in. Or if he can get back to his Leicester days, or even if he gets his England form.
His whole City days were better than...
Yeah, Hull.
Tree, what's it called? Statistically, he was worse than Grant Hanley last year. What was he ranked? Was it 37 out of 41 centre-back options in the Premier League? It was lower than that. Something like six last.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that maybe he just needs a bit of time away. Maybe the captaincy weighs too heavy for him. And my option for the captaincy would probably be Bruno. But I would rather Ronaldo. If you give it to Ronaldo, nobody can give out about him because he has the running of the dressing room. And then...
he's the unofficial captain in my book. He's still unofficial.
I think he undermines Maguire a bit last year. That could have been a bit of a problem.
He undermined Ole, let's not forget, when he walked and straight
Ralph.
To the tunnel.
I think Ralph as well. But that was last year. We're done with next year. Then, should we address it? I think Timber... would be a good signing. He's a versatile centre-back.
Tell me a bit about Timber. I'd like to...
he can play right-back, centre-back, and that's why I think we're going to be playing, as I say, 1-4-2-3-1, because the goalkeeper is going to be very involved. He's going to be playing on that kind of... whilst in defence, we're going to be playing a 4 at the back, I believe, with Timber playing right-back, Varane, Maguire, and Shaw. That would be our back four, but if we don't get Timber... I could see Dalot playing there, and we possibly signing someone like Pau Torres just to keep everybody quiet.
Yeah.
And that's a bit of a... that could be done as well. But Timber, I think we need to sign him, if not January. Because I think the World Cup might be a problem with it, but...
you see, that's interesting, because my option for a fullback option, I've gone with James Justin. I've been looking at him at Leicester. I think he's probably ready for a step up. He's been very good the last few years. Proven Premier League quality. Good going both ways. And he is versatile enough to play on the left and right back. Because, you know, Shaw sometimes can be a problem. Interchange them around. Because I don't think anyone's going to buy Wan-Bissaka or Shaw. I think they're there for the foreseeable. Dalot is an okay performer. So overall, that's who I've gone with for that option. And... not sure what you think about that as a United man, but that's my opinion on James Justin anyways. To go back to the Timber situation, what sort of a fee do you reckon you would command for...
I think right now it'd be upwards of 50, but in January, I think in 30, because the World Cup and Louis van Gaal are a big problem, because van Gaal is actually telling him if you leave Ajax, you're not getting into the World Cup squad, so... he's taking a risk, which I think is a bit bad, because I think Van Gaal is a hypocrite. He said that, but Ake still gets a game for the Netherlands, doesn't get a game at City. So he's a bit of a joke, to be honest. But I like Timber. Then Torres, I don't know, he seems a bit weak, and I think having a defender whose weakness is heading isn't that really that good?
Well, to be honest, Harry Maguire's weakness, yes, the last season was absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And Varane...
he's injured. I think if you keep Varane injured or fit, he'd be brilliant, but... I think we could be seeing Champions League Varane, but in the Europa League, of course, but... that's only small problem, but Europa League, it's where we are at the moment.
Are you as a United fan, are you looking at the Europa League and saying
it's a must win? Because I think top four is going to be extremely tough next year, so we need to have a backup.
Because to me, anyways, the top four is, I don't want to say it's sewn up, but there seems to be a large gap between the four that I think most people would predict to make
it. I still think Chelsea is a big problem.
Chelsea are in a bit of turmoil.
Most of your centre-backs is not good.
I think we'll...
And I see nobody that is realistic that you could replace them with.
Jules Koundé?
But are you going to get him and De Ligt? I cannot see it.
That's very unrealistic.
And you're getting rid of this Levy Caldwell as well, who I think is a magnificent player for Huddersfield last year, and you're not even giving him a chance. It's Tomori all over again.
Tomori and Gay, let's not forget.
Oh, and Gay. Yeah. You gave him a chance either. That's what Chelsea is these days under Tuchel.
It could potentially be a mistake, but I think we're still a little bit too good, and we should, based on the amount of players we're linked with, we should be able to get it together. To some degree, anyways. And
I
also, let's not forget Conor Gallagher.
Next show. That's my
That's
take.
Possible, considering that Todd Boehly hasn't exactly come in with a philosophy of, you know, letting things play out. Half the club has been sacked since he arrived. So, yeah, maybe, but truthfully, I don't see the United defence getting to a position that is ready to compete on multiple fronts. There's no depth in there. If you get four competent players together, as soon as one gets injured, there needs to be rotation, you're back to square one, and individual mistakes are probably going to play God over you again next year. But you know, I've been wrong before and I'll be wrong again. Let's talk about the midfield, and more specifically, Frankie de Jong, shall we?
Frankie. I think Frankie would be brilliant at Man United. He's shown, right now at Barcelona, he's been playing out of position, because he is usually a holding midfielder. But as you know right now, Sergi Busquets has that position on hold, as he has done for the last 15 years. So it was always going to be tough for him there.
Was it a bad signing? From Frankie
De
Jong's perspective?
From his perspective, he said it was his dream signing for his dream club. But that was at the time. Now is now. And I think for his career, I think it was probably a bit too early in his career to be going to...
What is he, 26?
25.
He's still 25.
So he's still a young man, and I think him coming to Man United would be good because he knows the manager well. The manager knows him. He knows how to get best out of him in this system. So I can see nothing but good things, but he has to put in the work. Ten Hag has to also put in the work for it to work out, and I think if as a number one signing, and he's replacing Pogba, no one else in this scenario, so I think it's a good replacement, and he's, I hope he is a bit quieter than Pogba in the wider scale of things.
Do you think him and Van de Beek will be able to rekindle that partnership? Because to be honest, Van de Beek has been
dreadful. He's been disgraceful.
He hasn't played that much, but he has not shown anything to two
managers.
I
think it might be a bit worrying for Fernandes, because I know this is going to be a possession-based team, and Fernandes, I think he nearly has the most balls giving away in the league last year. So.
I would say that you're probably going to see Bruno Fernandes in the Hakim Ziyech role.
Yeah.
Of creator
from wide positions.
Yeah.
I can see it as well. And I think Christian Eriksen would also be a top-class signing.
Christian Eriksen would be good, yeah. I think that would...
Who are you saying? Frankie?
The one I've talked about is Frankie, but...
For that number six...
Yeah, alongside him, because you'd imagine if Van de Beek plays, he'll be in more of a box-to-box role. He's not going to be sitting back there with Frankie. Was it... Who played alongside him back in the day?
Sean, but he was...
Yeah, I don't really see that happening. I think it's probably going to be Fred.
Fred.
I don't see McTominay holding down that position. I think Fred is the more competent player, albeit prone to individual errors. But the big problem, I think, for... United now is the attack. Last year I have some stats to prepare. Obviously, Martial went off, and of course Greenwood had to leave around January time. But the people who are there at the full season: Rashford, Sancho, Alanga. Rashford 4 goals, 2 assists. Sancho 3 goals, 3 assists. Elanga 2 goals, 2 assists. Now, to me, that's appalling. All of them have over 10 starts and close to 20 appearances in the league. I think Sancho himself actually has over 20 starts in the league. And that's simply not good enough. I don't see... So I think priority for United should be trying to unburden an ageing Cristiano Ronaldo by getting in some good attacking options. And I think there's plenty on the market. First one that springs to mind, Paulo Dybala. One of the best players in the world not that long ago. And what I like about And what I like about Dybala is...
It's a cash cow.
Comparing him to a Dusan Tadic, who was very effective at Ajax, I think they're a similar mold of players. They're not big target men. They're going to be playing in a more of a false zone. But, you know, he was a different man then. What's called? His stock was in a different position. Like,
and
let's not forget.
It looks like Inter aren't actually going for him, so it could be.
Especially with Lukaku just after coming in. So I'd say Paulo Dybala would be a good fit. And the other one is, why don't they make a play for Raheem Sterling? It's unlikely.
I don't think you can cross that divide.
But everyone knows Raheem Sterling grew up a United fan. He's been outspoken about that.
He's been at Liverpool and Man City.
You know, I think he's a good option.
And
he's
also
definitely
QPR, a big money arrival after developing with them and City in 2012. So
everyone knows
Jimmy
that.
Jimmy Alcott knows that.
Everyone knows that this is a serious. He's a serious player, and he's very much available. So, if I'm a United sporting director, not Ed Woodward, of course.
Richard Arnold.
That is running things. Then I'm looking at Raheem Sterling, and I'm thinking, it wouldn't be a sin to pop the question anyways. See what we're doing, because I think there's a lot that needs to be done there. But overall, I'd like to talk about what do you think is realistic for this United? We've gone through the, you know...
There's only one man they need to address this attack. Serge Gnabry. He's leaving Bayern for cheap, around 45 million. I think it'd be a brilliant signing. His fitness... And there's also the Arsenal situation where he said the only Premier League team he would play for is Arsenal, which...
Not West Brom, anyways.
Not West Brom, no, but... I think he'd be a brilliant signing. Because they're looking to shift him after bringing in Mane. And he only has a year left on his contract, so he's going out on the cheap. So I think he'd be a really good signing in this. Because he's good. He's a pressing forward.
Mm-hmm.
Ten Hag likes kind of a possession-based pressing system, so I think...
He'd be used to that at Bayern anyways, yeah.
Because... Ten Hag was in Bayern during the Pep days, so I think Ten Hag would know him well. I think he'd be a brilliant signing. The Europa League might be a factor of not getting him, but I think he'd be perfect on the right wing.
Yeah, I think that would be a decent option anyways. But if you're doing that, what sort of a team are we looking at? What's the front,
front six.
Because I wanted to say, who's protecting an attacking-based order?
Ronaldo is a problem, but Anthony Martial, he has to show what he's being paid for. So
I don't see Martial playing over 10 games next season,
to
be honest.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Ronaldo can play most games. But if he gets injured, you're going to have to play him. And we also have a few good players in the youth academy, but we'll talk about them another day. But also Jimmy Garner for that number 6, a young man that got promoted with Nottingham Forest. He looks promising, so I hope he gets a few games next year. But
yeah, because to me anyways,
I see Man United. What were you saying for Man United to finish top? Top 4 would be a major success. Well,
top 4 is success, to be honest, compared to where they were last year, not even competing for the majority of the season. And then maybe a good run in one of the 3 cup competitions.
Winning one of the cup.
Yeah, sorry, that's what I mean. Winning.
Is number 1 on the list. I would say 5th. And
would
the trophy would be a success.
I think that's.
Without a trophy, he'd have to be getting 3rd.
Yeah. Is it a trophy that gets you into the Champions League, though? Are we talking about.
Europa League or
League?
FA Cup? Don't I want the League Cup? Either of those two.
And to me, anyways, 4th and the League Cup would be a huge success for a campaign. Considering the state that they are in right now, still haven't signed anyone, let's not forget. But to come back to the original question, actually, I want you to name your... for the game against, I believe it's Brighton, on August 7th, I want you to name your whole Ten Hag lineup, taking into account his system, and you know, they firstly based on the players that you have, but also maybe give a suggestion of who you'd like to see come into that lineup.
Okay, so goalkeeper, De Gea, right back, probably Diogo Dalo, probably Rafa Varane, other centre back. Because it's Brighton, they don't really play well, except for Danny Welbeck, with a kind of a target man, say, forward. I'd probably go Lindelof. Then right, left back, Luke Shaw. But the problem is, I think the three at the back is the only situation, so you could possibly see Lindelof playing at right back with Harry Maguire playing centre back. That would be...
That'd be interesting, because did they play Daley Blind at left back?
Yeah, that was what he did. He pushed in, and Mazraoui, he was the one who got to go up.
Yeah.
That's kind of where they did it.
It's similar to what Jose Mourinho did back in his Chelsea days, where he allowed Aspilicueta to come in and Ivanovic to go up forward. Something similar to that, I imagine, is what we're going to see.
And the double pivot, I'm going to say, I'm hoping they get in the second holding midfielder, but they've been asking, they still haven't replaced Michael Carrick, which is a bit of a joke at holding.
That is actually kind of true, yeah.
So I'd go Frankie De Jong, who I think is going to play, and then either McTominay or Fred, but I'm not too happy about that.
Would it be McFred? If it isn't coming, would you still play McFred? You wouldn't look
I think you can get Van de Beek playing kind of a... He can do for tackles, do the job. I could see that as well.
Because what I would see happening, to be honest, he'd be in part of that three Van de Beek. He'd be the central man, just mostly box to box, pressing from the front, but also coming back. You know, more of an all-rounder. I can't see him playing in a pivot anyways, because he hasn't proven himself that reliable. Nor can I see him playing way up the pitch either, because he's not that creative. But just doing a bit of everything, I think that's what Ten Hag is going to want from him. A workhorse, if nothing else. Because, to be honest, with Bruno playing in that number 10 role, I'm not sure that's going to work in this ultra-modern Ten Hag system. But I'm not sure. You probably know more about me.
Yeah.
More than me.
I could agree. I could see Van de Beek playing the role. But I think we should go with that. But Van de Beek and a Dutch pairing.
Yeah.
I think Rashford is going to start on the left.
You reckon?
I think Rashford's going to be back to his best. Then Bruno center. Sancho, I hope he can play on the right. Because if he can't play on the right, why do we buy him? But
fair enough, yeah.
Then Ronaldo, heading them on up front. If not, ice cold Anthony Martial up front.
Ice cold Anthony Martial.
Who would you say?
To be honest, I agree with that back four. And the goalkeeper, obviously. Based on current, you'd have to go with McFred, but you're hoping that McTominay drops out for...
I think De Jong is a done deal.
Because obviously I'd be hoping De Jong comes in for McTominay, but that does look very likely. So we'll just say De Jong and Fred are the double pivot. Then I'm going with, as I talked about, that Donny van de Beek all-round role. Sort of what he had going on at Ajax. Then left, I think Sancho.
Yeah.
I didn't think much of him his first season, but I thought he looked slightly better on the left.
I
thought
he looked well towards the end. It's the right, so I hope he gets good on the right, because
I don't know. He is right footed, I believe.
Yeah.
And I think that is a problem in the modern era. Someone playing on the side that they are strong footed on. Right, as I talked about, Bruno Fernandes in that Hakim Ziyech role. I can see it happening. He's quite a well-rounded player, that slow creator who can also chip forward, get a few goals, and then obviously Ronaldo has to play up top. Don't think there's any debate about that, but in conclusion, I want your final prediction for, first of all, league standing as of right now, what you're projecting for the summer and what other teams do. We'll revisit this hopefully with the Premier League predictions, as well as can they compete in any of the cup competitions? That's what I need to... That's just the last thing before we move on to our very special quiz section at the end.
Okay. League. I'm saying at best third, acceptable fifth. Okay.
So what do you think it's going to be closer to?
Fifth? Yeah. League Cup, quarterfinal. Actually, I wouldn't mind not doing well in League Cup, but in the other two, you have to do well.
Yeah.
Europa League, I'm going to say win.
Yeah.
League FA Cup, semi-final.
That would be, I would consider that moderate success.
Yeah.
Especially if you're getting back into the Champions League. Like, I think Europa League, obviously at the start, Premier League needs to take priority, but if it wears on and those front four and even Arsenal start pulling away, I think that United should really go all in for the Europa League like they did under Jose Mourinho.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could definitely see that happening. But, yes, as I alluded to there, we have a nice quiz to end it. And this is going to be in honour of the 10-month gap. This is going to be 5 quiz questions each in that span. Whoever gets more wins. And the prize is, well, you won't see it here, but it's a nice cupcake.
Yeah, from courtesy Stodgeface. Courtesy of
Stodgeface, yeah.
Yes. Our partners.
Well, we're not getting paid for them, but, you know, we'll give them some free advertising anyways. But would you like to give me the first question, or do you want to go first?
You can go first.
You want me to ask you, like?
Yes.
Right.
I'll see what you can do.
I feel like every single one of these questions that I have are very gettable. They're not ultra niche.
I've given you a choice in some of them.
So. I have no choice, but, yeah. The 2021 Ballon d'Or, I want you to name, and there can be no exceptions here, the top three. The top three.
Third, Jorginho. Second, Lewandowski. First, Messi.
That's correct. One out of one.
I remember watching it. I was shocked at Messi one.
Yeah.
Okay. After announcing this week that Bruce Buck is leaving Chelsea.
Thank God.
Your love of Bruce Buck. When did he join the club? What year was it? 2004, 2003, 2000, or 2005?
Been there a long time.
Long, long time.
Was he under the Abramovich era? I have a feeling, because obviously he's an American lawyer, close enough to retirement age anyways.
Would you like the options again?
Was it 2000, 2003, 2004, 2005?
2004, 2003, 2000, 2005.
I think he was there before Abramovich. I'm going to go 2000.
That is incorrect. He came with Abramovich 2003.
Ah, Jesus. Right.
There, go again.
Next question. This is an easy one. Who had the most assists in the Premier League this season?
Tough. Or is it easy? It's either De Bruyne or someone else. Or was it Trent? Actually, I remember when Liverpool lost the league that they made up some stupid trophy, so it looked like Salah got 2 trophies. So I think it might be Salah. I think I remember getting the Playmaker Award, but was that for goals and assists? Or was that just for assists? I'm going to go with Salah.
That is correct and right, yeah. Mohamed Salah with 13 assists won the Premier League Top Assister Award.
Yeah.
And top goal scorer. He did the Harry Kane, but not outright.
I always thought it was goals and assists.
Yeah. Well, he did win the goals and assists, in fairness.
Okay.
But give me my next question. It could be all over if I don't get this one.
Okay, we're going continental with this one. Some European football.
Oh, my specialty.
Who was the winner of the KNVB Dutch Cup in 2022?
It is.
So Ajax had 83 points this season.
No, this is the cup.
No, I'm just saying, they had a very good season, and Feyenoord were on 81.
How did you know this? I don't even know that.
I know it was a lot closer than...
This is the cup now, not the league.
I know, but that I think Feyenoord might have got it ahead of them in the cup. But also, I think you would have given me this question if it was someone really niche that I wouldn't know. Like, because Feyenoord, let's not forget, they were in the Conference League final as well. So it could be someone niche, like, well, PSV isn't that niche. I don't know how to pronounce that. The one beginning with G.
Groningen.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Feyenoord.
It's PSV.
Oh, Jesus.
PSV came second in the league.
PSV came second?
Yeah, Feyenoord came third.
Jeez, I can't believe I got that wrong.
I remember watching it live.
This could be curtains. If you get this one. Stephen Kenny got his first win since we last did the podcast. Who was it against?
Abroad, or did we lose against Gibraltar? I knew we could have lost
against Gibraltar. We lost against Armenia. But I think this could have been a friendly. I'm gonna
say Albania.
As you say so yourself, it was Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan, I love
it. A 3-0 win. I think it was away, yeah. I was at the home game. We drew 1-1 with a nice Shane Duffy header. Nevertheless, I'm still well behind. What's the next question? I need to get one right eventually.
Who finished higher in the Premier League season last year? These are two rivals now, so they hate each other. So I hope our listeners don't mind who you think is better. Brighton and Hove Albion or Crystal Palace? Both were told to have played magnificent football last year. But who finished higher?
Jesus. I know one of them finished 9th, and I think the other one was 11th. Or it was 9th and 10th. Because Wolves dropped off, and 7th was who? West Ham. 8th was Leicester. 9th was either Brighton or Crystal Palace. The other one, oh my god, how my gut says Brighton, because I know, because they didn't lose that many games. They drew a lot and they won like 11 or 12. And Crystal Palace.
Is that your final answer?
I think it is. I'm going with Brighton.
Well, I have to tell you, you're correct. It was Brighton.
Where did Crystal Palace finish actually?
12th.
They finished 12th?
Yeah.
I thought they were 11th now. Or I don't know, half of thought they were 9th. Anyways, do you want your next question? It's 2-1 and we've both had 3 questions.
Okay, go on.
I feel like you should get this. Who is the most expensive signing in the January 2022 window?
Who was the top signing? Well, in in the summer, it was Jackie Grealish. In January. I was going to say Luis Diaz.
That is incorrect. The answer was Dusan Vlahovic.
He probably was
about a few million. Because what's called? To be honest, when I looked up that question, I was thinking was Bruno Guimarães, because I know he was 42.5.
Yeah, sure.
But that was the Premier League one. Overall was.
How much was Diaz? I don't think he was like 60-something.
No, I think he was 37.5. He was good value, like.
Okay.
I think anyways.
Like your next question. Is it a draw if you win this?
If I get this one, it's a draw going into the last one.
Which Turkish club won the Turkish Super League last season?
Oh, Jesus.
A former club of Danny Welbeck who actually left them before they won the league.
Right. How many Turkish clubs do I know first and first? Galatasaray, obviously. Fenerbahce.
Yeah.
Does the other one with that beat you in the Champions League, which I don't know how the name is deceiving me at this point.
Well, I give you a hint.
Sure.
This is their first win in a while. And they I think I can't give him any more.
So it wasn't that Demba Ba team anyways, because they're recent enough. Or not Demba Ba. Yeah, it is Demba Ba, yeah.
Will I give you a hint to as where they last won it?
No, there's no need.
It was in the 80s.
From the 80s? I don't think Fernabachi...
1983-84, to be exact.
I don't think Fernabachi on that much of a downward spiral. Galatasaray, definitely.
Will I give you a hint as who was probably their best player last season?
No, that's plenty.
Marek Hamsik, who's fair from
that. I know who Hamsik is, of course. But so I have no idea who this is. And I'm just going to guess Fernabachi, because...
It was Trabzonspor. Or Trabzonspor.
I actually have heard of them, now I think about it. I would never have guessed that, though, to be honest.
Okay, go on.
Your last question, this is to win it. You're 2-1 up. This is... this is the...
Back of the net.
It's the winner, and I need the number exactly.
Oh, it's one of these ones.
Okay. How many Premier League goals did Ronaldo score last year?
Huh.
You know this, don't you?
I gave you that question as well.
Really, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, I'll go with my backup.
Okay. It's 18, by the way.
Yeah, it is 18. What's it called? The backup was, how many points did Ronaldo's goals get when That's United in the Premier League? That's a
joke of a question.
In the Champions League group stage last year. Jesus, did you think it was over the season?
Okay, so. Let me think. 0 for Young Boys, because we lost the first, somebody scored. That was our first game. That probably was our first game. Then. He scored the winner against Atlanta, but they used it twice. Atlanta. He did it against Atlanta away. He did it away and at home. That's 6 from 2 games. Young Boys was a draw, and I don't think he played. So that's ni point. Then, so 6 against Villarreal. Did we lose at home to Villarreal? He definitely won us the game away from home against Villarreal, I think. So that's 9. But what about the home? I'm going to say 10 points.
That is correct and right, but you did it in the wrong way.
Oh.
It was the 2 against Villarreal, 1 against Atlanta, and he got an equaliser against... Atlanta, the 2-2 game.
Ah.
So you've won.
Would you like to get your question?
Might as well.
Welcome to Ronaldo. Who was Manchester City's top scorer in their title-winning season, 2022?
Right. Who could it have been? Doesn't really matter. My gut says Mahrez.
Incorrect.
Right.
Kevin De Bruyne.
Should have known. KDB. It was an easy win for you anyways. We'll continue to do that at the end of the podcast.
That's what the college lifestyle is, John. That's what Galway gives you. Not you, see.
Well, fair enough. Anyways, thank you very much for listening, and we'll hopefully be back sooner rather than later. Goodbye.